Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Are you happy now?
What if this is as good as it gets?
I like it!
This makes me happy.
Life is good.
I'm just a little emotional right now.
Alrighty then.
I'm Jim Burns. Are you happy with where you are in life? Are you content in the circumstances that God has placed you in right now? Are you content with the job you have, the home you have, the car you have? Well, the Apostle Paul proclaimed that he had learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And my guest today on Homeward is here to help us learn to live like this, because most of us probably don't. She's author and speaker, and actually one of my favorite guests here on Homeward, Ruth Haley Barton, and she's committed her life to helping people experience spiritual transformation. Ruth is with us today here on Homeward to teach us how to make the most of the situations that God has placed us in. It's a discussion you won't want to miss, so stay tuned. And welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, broadcasting as always from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Today, a very, very special edition of the program. You're going to hear Jim's conversation with Dr. Ruth Haley Barton, and we're going to give you some tips for arranging your life and literally finding calm in the midst of chaos. It's a good conversation to have, and we're so glad you've tuned in for it. Speaking of calm in the midst of chaos, thank you for being that respite for us. We know that so many people appreciate the ministry of Homeward. Well, trust me, the notes that we get from you, the tax-deductible donations, the calls, they really bless our hearts, too. And so thank you for continuing to give us that feedback. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, we're talking about arranging your life for spiritual transformation. It's going to be a great, great program. Ruth Haley Barton is with us. She's the co-founder and president of the Transforming Center in Illinois. She's a spiritual director and a retreat leader. As I was talking to her right before the program, her book, An Invitation to Solitude and Silence, was the book that I passed out to my wife and to my assistant here at Homeward, as well as to my support group this last year. Fabulous writer, a great speaker. She's married to Chris. They have three daughters, and they live in Illinois. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it is so great to see you again, and I appreciate so much what you do. Sometimes at Homeward, we talk about basic parenting principles or marriage issues. Today, we're going to go a little bit deeper because we're going to talk about sacred rhythms, how we can arrange our lives for spiritual transformation. It seems to me that most people I'm talking to today are saying, life's a mess. I've created this life with 2.4 kids, and I don't have enough time for God, and I don't have enough time for my kids, and I just feel discouraged and fatigued. What do you say to that person? Because you're hearing the same thing.
Hopefully speak with them about the fact that it is possible for us to go down deeper inside and to touch those places in our lives of deeper desire and longing, those things that we really want, the things that are deeper down than just the surface busyness that we all live in. And that when we can become quiet enough to touch those deeper desires, the desire to be with family meaningfully, the desire to be intimate with God, the desire for a life well lived, then it's painful sometimes to feel how deep our longings and our desires go and how our life isn't quite congruent with our desires. But it also opens up a whole nother set of choices for us where we really can choose to arrange our lives for what it is that our hearts most want. And that's a very hopeful idea.
Ruth, you came to a point in your life where, you know, three kids and very busy. You went to a counselor, a spiritual director, and pretty much said, boy, it's not working.
Right. Yeah. And that was a very important time in my life. And it's important for all of us, those moments when we feel like we're hitting a wall, per se, or an impasse or a place where we really don't know what to do, but we know this isn't it. And it's really important to pay attention at those times rather than just continue to soldier on and keep, you know, hitting against the wall or keep thinking that if I do the same thing over and over again, it's going to change something. That's not true. And it's not going to be minor tweaks either. Oftentimes, it's going to be some deeper and more fundamental changes to our lives to help us to live around what it is that we most want.
But that's really difficult because a lot of times we say we want to change. We even kind of know what we can or should do, but we're caught because life is running us in circles.
Yes, and we've made choices that have us caught. You know, we've made choices for a particular house that has a very large mortgage, which means that I have to have a job that pays this much money, and that means that they have, you know, a whole lot of say about my life in ways that I don't like. Or we've let our kids become overly involved in athletics, and so we're running and running and running. Or we live in a suburb where we feel like we have to compete with the Joneses. And so we get ourselves into these situations and then we're stuck in them and we don't know what to do.
You had an aha moment about the deepest desires of your heart during a birthday party for your daughter, Bethany. Mm-hmm. I love that story.
Yeah. She was 15. She was a freshman. She was one of the first ones to turn 15 because it was September of her freshman year. And all she wanted for her birthday was to have over 75 of her closest friends. She's very
fun
social.
For,
that's
for
right.
Mom, too.
Yeah. And we did narrow the list down to 50 of her closest friends. And the night came and our whole family rallied to give her this party because it really was all that she wanted. So there was an older sister, Charity, who was a senior in high school, who organized some of her friends to help with the karaoke competition. And my husband, Chris, was, you know, managing the barbecue, but he was also patrolling the property to make sure that no unwanted substances came and went because we didn't know these kids. And, you know, I was busy getting food out. And there was a moment where my whole self just stood up in attention. I was serving hamburgers and hot dogs. The kids were going through the line and there was this one young man who was so sincere in his expression of appreciation. He stopped what he was doing and he said, "Thank you, Mrs. Barton. This is so much fun." And I could feel that it came from someplace deep inside. Others had said thank you, but his came from a deeper place inside of him. So I stopped what I was doing and I looked him in the eyes and I said, "Well, you're welcome. We really enjoy having you." And he was stunned. He didn't know what to say, as though he was completely unaccustomed to being enjoyed. And I realized that this was my life. You know, I do a lot of other things. I write and I speak and I travel and all that. But I realized this is the life that God's given me. And I'm not always this present in it. And later on that night, as we were reflecting on the party and how much fun it was and, you know, what it took for us all to pull it off, I felt that deeper longing and desire that God would enable me more and more to be fully present in my life as it's been given to me, as opposed to always looking somewhere else and thinking it's better over there, or there's something else that's more fulfilling and satisfying. That no, this is my life. This life with these daughters and this house and this neighborhood, this is my life, and I want to be present to God, and I want to be present in love to the people around me. I don't always want to be looking someplace else for something better. I want to be all the way here now. And it was a very profound moment of longing of saying to God, help me to do that. Help me to live my life in such a way that I am fully present to you and to others in love much more regularly and consistently in a way that's full.
I would imagine that's the longing for many, many people. I know it's my longing. I said to my support group the other day, I said, you know, I look good on paper. I'm doing my devotions and I'm going through my 1 year Bible and all this. But I said, sometimes I don't feel present in the now. I don't feel God's presence as I'm going about doing life. And so I think a lot of people would have that. Now, you're a spiritual director, also a writer of great books on spiritual transformation. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to be in the present. I want to feel that in my family. I want to feel God's presence. What do you say to them?
Well, first of all, to stay with their longing and their desire, because that is a pivot point in the spiritual life. Otherwise, we just do minor tweaks or we start and then we're not able to carry through. But when you stay with the experience of longing, then you do have the opportunity then to start watching. Where are the places where I make the choices that are not congruent? Am I saying yes to something every single night of the week? Do I keep letting them tell me that I have to do all this stuff at work and for work so that I'm out 3, 4, 5 evenings a week? What are the things that I can say no to say yes to what I really want in my life, which is to be all the way here now? For you and I, for people who have lives that are very full with ministry and vocation, I have to be very, very careful about the things that I say yes to and no to these days. And I'm almost ruthless with it now because I'm so in touch with what I really want. And what I really want is to be with these children and to be in my home with them while they're still here. And so many, many other things go by the way right now because I know what it is that I want right now. And I know what God has given me and the greatness of the gift.
You know, it's interesting. Kathy, my wife, often says to me, "We have a Messiah. He's doing very well. Don't replace him."
That's right.
And sometimes we get in that. When you're in that place where you want to be present, you talk about finding the spiritual rhythm, the sacred rhythms. Explain that.
Well, but I think part of being present has to do with our own restedness, the quality of our own ability to pay attention. And so the disciplines for me of having some quiet in my life where I really can get down to the deeper place within me and then interact with people in my family out of that place rather than the frenetic quality of my life that can often be there, where I am making decisions that are consistent with what it is that my heart wants, where there is a prayerfulness about my life where I can take the things that we're experiencing as a family and take them into the quiet and pray about them and hear from God what is most needed in the moment and bring that quality of presence to my family rather than one who's just reacting out of my head. The rhythms of Sabbath, the family having a day that's fundamentally different than the other 6 days of the week when everybody's there. And for me, it's, as someone who travels a lot, people know I will always be there on Sunday, and they know what I'll be doing. I will be resting. I will be doing fun stuff. I'm available. I cook. There's a difference on that day, and our family life kind of revolves eventually around that day, knowing that we can be very busy the other 6 days, but this day we'll all be here, you know, in God's presence. So those kinds of rhythms can really help us to be present the way that we'd like.
You really have to be intentional. And I think a lot of us might feel like we're being selfish when we do that. And I want to talk to you about that when we come back. Ruth Haley Barton with us. She's written a wonderful book. It's called Sacred Rhythms, Arranging Our Lives for Spiritual Transformation. When we come back, we're going to find out what the word metamorphosis is all about and how it relates to our spiritual transformation. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
Great conversation as always with Dr. Ruth Haley Barton here on the Homeward broadcast. And of course, our host, parenting and family expert, Dr. Jim Burns. We're talking about arranging your life and finding calm in the midst of chaos. Hope you enjoy what Ruth is talking about, these principles that you can learn more about in all of her books. We highly recommend Sacred Rhythm and Invitation to Solitude and Silence. They're very Christ-centered. They're very biblically based, but they also involve kind of unplugging and decompressing a little bit from the world system and really getting more in tune with God. And we'll hear more from Dr. Jim Burns and Ruth Haley Barton on the other side of this break, so do stay with us.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Dad, can you sign this?
Sure. What is it, Heather?
My reading log for English. We're supposed to read 5 hours a week.
Well, did you?
Well, not exactly.
Well, it says here this log is due tomorrow, and you've only read 1 hour so far.
I totally forgot to add in my hours for tonight.
Hours for tonight? Heather, you've been watching TV for at least 3 hours.
Well, yeah, but I was reading during commercials.
Oh, Heather.
Please, Dad, if you don't sign me off, I'll have detention all next week.
Well,
The most important part of the discipline process is the one area where too many of us parents drop the ball with our kids. And that's because we aren't consistent with them. Well, discipline in your home should be setting clearly defined limits and then consistently reinforcing those limits. Well, you can read more about the importance of setting limits for your children when you read my tip sheet called 5 Reasons Why Your Kids Want You to Set Boundaries for Them. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Ruth Haley Barton. We're talking about arranging your life for spiritual transformation, not only how that affects your life, but it affects your family's life as well. Ruth Haley Barton is a spiritual director. She's a retreat leader. She's the co-founder and president of the Transforming Center in Illinois. And by the way, we'll have their web address on our Homeward website today. She's also the author of a great book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, as well as a book we're talking about today, Sacred Rhythms, Arranging Your Life for Spiritual Transformation. Ruth, right before the break, we talked about the fact that you refer to spiritual transformation as a metamorphosis. Give us an example of how this works.
Well, metamorphosis is the language used to describe the process by which a caterpillar enters into the cocoon and emerges eventually as a beautiful butterfly. And many people may not realize that that's a biblical term, that the Greek word metamorpho is the word that's used in Romans 12, 1 and 2, when the scriptures say that we're to be not conformed to the image of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. That word is metamorphosis, which is very exciting because it's a word that's full of mystery. We don't have control over it. I don't know how the caterpillar knows that it's time to enter into the cocoon. I don't know how much the caterpillar even understands about what's going to happen once it goes in there. But spiritual transformation from a biblical standpoint is all about us being willing to enter into a process that we may not fully understand. And yet in that process, God begins to change us fundamentally so that rather than being the caterpillar that's crawling along on the ground, eventually it emerges from this process as a butterfly that has fundamentally different capacities for flying.
That gives us hope because it's possible to do it. It's not easy. And it really does take some spiritual discipline and it takes some intentionality on it. And you've listed different things that we can do. Interestingly enough, it's not difficult to do it, but it's hard to find the time sometimes to do some
right. And I think another important nuance for us is to realize that we're not the ones that bring about this metamorphosis. We're not the ones that bring about transformation. All we do is show up, like the caterpillar shows up and goes into the cocoon. the caterpillar doesn't bring about the transformation it experiences. God does that. The caterpillar is just faithful to do what's his to do. And it's the same for us with the disciplines, that we show up, enter into those disciplines, because that's like entering into the cocoon, going into that place where God is at work in our lives. But God is the one who works transformation in us. And that's very hopeful too, because it means I'm not walking into the disciplines, gritting my teeth and trying really hard, thinking I'm going to change myself. I go into the disciplines and I offer myself to God, and then I trust God with what takes place in those moments.
That's really good. I remember Dallas Willard saying that it's not trying, it's training. And so we can try and grit our teeth, but that's not going to work. But we do have to train ourselves in a way. The first discipline that you talk about is the issue of solitude. We talked about it in a previous program. How do you see solitude as so important to this whole idea of developing your sacred rhythms?
Well, solitude is that place where we give God our undivided attention. It's that place of quietness where God and I are face to face with each other and open to deepening our intimacy with God. And that really is the heart of the spiritual life, that place where the human soul meets the Spirit of God. And Henry Nouwen goes so far as to say that without solitude, there is no spiritual life, because it is so much at the heart of what the spiritual life is about. So I believe that's where the rhythms of it all begin. It begins in solitude, and then from that place, we emerge into our life in the company of others, but we emerge into that life being more certain about who we are in God and having been loved by God and receiving our marching orders from God. And then we emerge into our life in community with others, whether that's family or church or whatever, with that deep sense of who we are in God and being a solid individual in God's presence. And then, of course, from there also we can contribute to the world. We can give something to our families, and we can contribute to the church, and we can contribute to the needs of those who have less than we do. But we do it from a place of fullness and having submitted ourselves and given ourselves, you know, over to God's transforming presence in our life.
What I liked, you use these words, reading for information or reading for transformation or reading for relationship.
That's
what you're
right.
saying is read for transformation, read for relationship, not necessarily just for information.
Right. And you can, one of the ways that can help you think about that is to think about the difference in yourself when you're reading a newspaper or reading a love letter. When you're reading a newspaper, it's very utilitarian. You skim the highlights, you pick what you want, you leave the rest behind. You may not trust the authors very much because there's always a little bit of spin. You have your own agenda that you bring to it, and once you're finished, the thing ends up in the garbage. Well, it's fundamentally different when you read a love letter. In a love letter, you care about the author. You know, you care about what that author is saying. You want to know more about what they're thinking. You read between the lines. You savor every word. You put it in a very special place. You wait for a special time when you're going to be quiet and interrupted. You don't read it on the airplane or on the train where the person next to you could like glance over and read something that's so personal and private. You hold it until there's an appropriate moment to read it. And then everything about what that person says really matters to you and penetrates your heart and changes something within you. And usually there's emotion that leaps up in you because you're so excited that this person, you know, is relating to you on that level.
Now, I hear somebody listening to us and saying, great, I want that, but how? Mm-hmm. How do you start that?
Well, I present a process or an approach to scripture and sacred rhythms that's very ancient. It's called Lectio Divina, and that's a Latin term for the word sacred reading, which really refers to the scriptures as sacred. And how it is that we do it. We do it in such a way that the Holy Spirit can penetrate our lives. And so it's a much slower way of reading, and you pick a very short passage, no more than 6 or 8 verses, even that's a lot. And you read them multiple times, and I suggest 3 or 4 times. And each time you read it, you read with a different question in mind. The first time, you just allow the word to penetrate, and you listen for the word or the phrase that strikes you, the one that's loudest, or the one that causes your stomach to turn over, or the one that brings a tear to your eyes, something that brings about a real human response in you. And you trust that that word is God's word for you today. And you don't even try to think about it at first. You just receive it as it's given, just like you would somebody that you love saying something loving to you. And so you savor the word, and you take some silence afterwards just to savor this word that God has given you. And then after that, you read it again, the very same passage again. And this time you listen for how it is that your life today is touched by this word. What is it in my life that needed to hear this word today? And there's silence again when you have the opportunity to just sit with it and just ask the question, what needed to hear this today? And then after that silence, you read it again, the same passage again. This is not how we as evangelicals do Bible reading.
Right.
Then the third time you listen for, you know, is there an invitation from God to me in this passage, and then again it's silent, and you allow yourself to respond, and pretty soon there's even a dialogue going on between you and God. You hear God's invitation, and maybe your response is, "You want me to do what?" You know, or maybe he has touched a place of sin in your life, and there's need for confession, or maybe he's loved you, and you just weep with this knowing deep down that God loves you, and he has said that to you on this day. And so you let that just come, and you give it space in the silence. And then after all that has been played out, then you read it a fourth and final time, and this time just to rest in God, to know that God's going to enable you to do whatever it is he's inviting you to do, being grateful that he has spoken. It's a lovely way to read Scripture, and it's much more than about conversation and relationship and this ongoing, you know, dialogue that's developing between you and God. It's very, very intimate. And in the book, I won't say it now because it's too long, but in the book, I describe my own first experience with Lectio Divina, and it was very powerful. And it was long after I'd been to seminary, long after I'd sat in sermons for 35 years. The passage was very familiar. There was nothing that anybody could have said about the passage from a speaking point of view that would have said anything new to me, but God had something to say to me when I listened to the scriptures read that way, and it was very powerful, and I've had that happen over and over again. So it's a delightful approach to Scripture that I hope that people will want to explore and experience.
I think that's a longing in so many of our hearts. Ruth, we don't have much time left, but I'm thinking, like myself, there are a lot of people who are saying, this sounds so wonderful. But, you know, I'll admit, there are times when I experience Christian fatigue syndrome. What's a good first step if we want to have a healthier rule of life to arrange our life really for spiritual transformation?
Well, first of all, there is no substitute with your desire for a while so that you really know what it is. What is it that I want with my life? And then, and those things that are most important to you, those things that you know aren't working right now, and let yourself just steep in those feelings of longing and desperation. But then after that, I would suggest exploring a couple of disciplines. If you feel drawn to solitude, if you were aware in the time that we were talking last that you just don't have any space in your life for any quiet, for sitting in God's presence, and even 10 minutes, I can tell you that even 10 minutes a day, and we can all find 10 minutes a day, we can turn off the television, we can drive in our car from here to there without having the radio on, all of us can find 10 minutes to sit quietly in God's presence. And we need some help with it, so that's why I talk about it in the book. That's one option. Another option is for us to think about Sabbath. I mean, that's another very concrete thing. Is there any block of time in our family life, in a week of time, when we are unplugged from work and unplugged from technology, when we slow ourselves down, when we say we're just going to be with each other in a fun, delighted, present way? And it doesn't even have to be a whole day. What I've discovered is that many people can't find a whole day yet. But could there be Sabbath time that would be an evening, like a Saturday evening? Or could it be Sunday, just around dinner time, that there's going to be this 3 hours where our family enters into a different way of being together, and just start with some quality of time that's different for the family? Those are a couple places where I would encourage people to start, but to do it from desire, not from legalism or a sense of obligation or ought and should.
That really does change it. So take that desire that you have, and I know you have that desire, and begin. Do something. Mm-hmm. Take 10 minutes if you can, and build some solitude into your life, as any of us long for it. And it's important for us to take that discipline. Ruth, we have so much more to talk about. Can you come back next time?
Yeah, I would love to.
Well, great. More next time as we talk about arranging our lives for spiritual transformation, sacred rhythms. Ruth Haley Barton, what a pleasure and a privilege to have her in studio today. We'll have her next time as well.
Great conversation, as always, with Ruth Haley Barton here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns walking her through a conversation about arranging your life and finding calm in the chaos. And boy, I'll tell you, one of the common concerns that we hear from parents, especially moms, is, I feel like I'm living my life in small little segments, and there's so many of them, I'm so overwhelmed. Which is why we are so grateful and appreciative to Ruth for the work that she's done. And Jim, I know that I see them in your office all the time. You've got dozens, hundreds of books in there, but all of Ruth Haley Barton's books are in there, and they're very well dog-eared. They're very well read, and that's why we're grateful to know that we can have her on the program and bring this conversation to light to help some people.
What is important? And I think it's one of the things that helps us with families in a big, big way. I have a good friend named Gary Gaddini, who's a pastor up in the Bay Area, wrote me recently that on a sabbatical, he read one of Ruth's books 3 times. Mm. And it was very life transforming. And that's what I appreciate about this kind of conversation.
Yeah. This is what I hear you talking about a lot. It's self-care.
It absolutely is self-care in the best of ways.
Well, we like self-care. Self-care is important, and it's important for us to have ways to do it, because I know that so many parents are contacting us and saying, okay, I hear you, but how do I do it? Well, this is one resource that you can use. Actually, this program is one that you can use as well. And remember that we make the audio streams of our Monday through Friday editions of the program are absolutely free and easy to listen to. When you go to homeward.com, podcast along with us through iTunes, and you can start that at homeward.com. Or if you'd like the full-length audio CD, we'll be happy to burn one for you as well with a nice Homeward label on it. All that we ask is that you include a gift of any amount when you send your request to us, and you can handle that transaction online at homeward.com or write to us. Write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go. We're gearing up for that again. Oh, by the way, the zip code is 92693. And thanks for remembering that Homeward is completely listener-supported. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.